Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking today about welcoming a child. We often mention on this program that we are meant to be subject to the principles of the Word of God. We are not meant to subject the principles of the Word of God to ourselves or to our circumstances or our times. It's always the other way around. Ourselves, our circumstances, our times are to be judged by the Word of God. That Word retains its full validity in all times, in all circumstances, applying to all of us human beings. Now, there are specific subjects and specific problems which may be peculiar to our times. Yes, I do try to be very specific in showing how the truth of God may apply in our own life situations, in all situations. But as you know, I trust, my emphasis is on the Word, not on the problem, in order that all of us may be encouraged every day to see that it is the same Lord who created us, the same Lord who formed us, redeemed us, and speaks to us, and says, "Thou art mine. I know your sorrows. I know your sufferings. I see your pain. I count your tears. Remember, it is because I love you with an everlasting love that I discipline you. I'm your Father. I'm your Heavenly Father, and I'm calling you to trust me, even in this thing that troubles you so much today. Will you say what Mary said? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Or if you're a man, you might say, behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it happen as you say. Let it happen as you say." Now, suppose you are childless. I have two letters to read today, one from Melissa. She says, "Your book has really inspired me. I'm dealing with trying to have a child. And there are times when we are around other married couples in our group at church who have children, and I tend to pull away and close up. By reading about your loss of your husband and the way you knew that God had plans for your life, well, it's made me realize that God has a purpose for me now, and I need not to dwell on what I don't have, but on all the blessings that He has given me. My husband, for instance, and the greatest blessing, my salvation. Thank you so much for those words of encouragement in your book. That's what they were to me." She's referring to my book called The Path of Loneliness. "I'm still desiring to have a child, but I'm also allowing our Heavenly Father to work His own desires through my life. If you can spare a few moments, I'd appreciate your thoughts on what I'm going through. I have also read your book on asking God why. My pastor and his wife gave it to me." Well, I do hope that you found some help in both of those books, Melissa, The Path of Loneliness and On Asking God Why. And now here's one from Alaska, a lady who listens to me up there. She said, "I would love to have a cassette of your talks last week on loneliness. You really stepped on my toes. In fact, they still hurt. But I can't thank you enough. This past year has been dominated by a crippling loneliness for me. My husband got a new job that keeps him away from home for 3 weeks at a time. He then is at home for the next 3 weeks and then gone another 3 weeks. I'm terribly lonely for him when he is gone. We have no children. We live in Alaska, in the bush, by our choice, or what you in the lower 48 would call the wilderness. I see other people for only a total of a few hours during the entire time my husband is gone. This is mostly due to the fact that it is usually too cold for me to safely go out alone. Things are much better in the summer, though, because I am out much more. We also have no phone, because phone service is not available to our area. I do not tell you all of this as an excuse, but as an explanation. Your talks helped me so much. I had allowed the spirit of loneliness to become so strong in my life that there was little room for anything else. I have now given my loneliness and my agenda to God. I may have to give them to God again, because I do have a tendency to take back the things I have given to him. My husband left again a few days ago. I still miss him, but I have peace. I do not even have words to express how wonderful it feels to be free of that burden. I must also tell you that I got a chuckle out of one of your other programs you did a while back. You mentioned how you had an outhouse, no electricity, etc., when you were young. She is making a mistake there. We did have electricity and indoor plumbing when I was young, but I certainly have spent some years in the jungle without either one. And I assumed that no one lives like that anymore. Well, I must tell you, I have an outhouse. We have no running water, no electricity, no phone, and neither do any of my neighbors. Most of all, we have chosen this lifestyle. One more thing before I go. I would be interested in hearing your thoughts on barrenness or childlessness on your program someday. I finally have come to terms with my own barrenness, but the struggle to reach this point was great. Thanks again. Well, thank you, Pamela, for writing. The prayer of confident love is, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it happen as you say." That was Mary's prayer, indicating that she had total confidence in the Lord God who had sent this angel with this amazing message. Her confidence was also informed by love. It is a prayer of confident love. Can you pray that prayer? Or do you feel that you yourself must determine the scope and the limits of your spiritual curriculum? That's a temptation for us sometimes, isn't it? Well, Lord, I'll go this far, but you wouldn't ask me to go further than that, would you? Yes, Lord, I do want to be holy, and I want to learn lessons, and I want to read your word, and I want to practice it, but I'd like to set a few limits to my spiritual curriculum. You won't be too hard on me, will you, Lord? When we give ourselves and our longings and our loneliness and our quite human and legitimate desire for a child to God, we don't know, and we are not supposed to know, where that commitment may take us, what it will cost, or when the next change may come, or how we shall meet it. Jesus asks us to relinquish our right to ourselves, to take up the cross, which is his cross, and the one he lays on us, and then, quite simply and quite trustfully and quite cheerfully, to follow, to put one foot in front of the other, and to go where he takes you. He's been over the course, you know. He knows where he's going. You don't have to know. And when I do all these programs that are primarily aimed at parents, mothers, married women, always, always, always in the back of my mind are you thousands of single women who are longing to be wives and mothers, longing for families. These truths are for you too, aren't they? We do not know what is best for us. Just last night, I was talking with a group of young, unmarried women, probably in their 30s, who are longing for that elusive husband and praying earnestly that God will send them the husband. What could I say to them when they ask me the question, how are we supposed to cope with our loneliness? I can only point them to Jesus Christ. He wasn't married. He knew what loneliness was. He was in all points tempted, as we are. But his one desire was to fulfill the will of his Father. "But we need husbands," one of them said. I said, "Only God knows what you really need. Only God knows what is really best for you. And you have to leave the judgment up to him. You have to relinquish your right to yourself. We all have to do that. We're asked to do that daily. Give up our right to ourselves and take up the cross. His cross and the cross that he lays on us. Whatever form of suffering or privation or sorrow or perplexity or just little trivial difficulties, those are crosses, aren't they? Because they cut across our will." And then he asks us quite simply, quite trustfully, and quite cheerfully to follow him. That's confident trust. Will you pray that prayer of confident trust? "Here I am, Lord. Do anything you want with me."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.